Promoting Copernicanism and Evolutionism. http://www.fixiteearth.com/nasasagenda.html. NASA has a spiritual agenda. Yes, spiritual. It projects the image of cutting-edge science opening exciting space frontiers for the good of mankind, but the facts say otherwise. Judge for yourself. On the Space Administration's webpage we read, NASA's Origins program will search for clues to help us find our cosmic roots. Cosmic roots? Origins program? There are two major beliefs about the origin of mankind and all other life forms. One says God created man and everything else not very long ago. The Bible states this view over 100 times and allows for no other explanation. God created everything fully formed as part of an eternal plan, the Bible teaches. Period. The other belief says everything came to be as it is accidentally and randomly as the result of natural forces acting upon themselves and evolving over billions of years. Clearly, the evolutionary belief is anti-Bible, but more to the point about NASA's goals being spiritual, it is a belief that attributes miraculous powers of creation of all that exists to a force or a god known as matter, and gases. Matter did it all. All hail matter. No god who demands recognition and accountability is needed. With matter as creator we can do what we want, cause nothing matters. As might be expected, a compromise belief has arisen out of these two opposites. It is called theistic evolutionism. This view acknowledges that there has to be a God to explain the mind-blowing design that exists any which way we turn. But, says the theistic evolutionist, this God did not create everything fully formed but used an evolutionary process over billions of years to do the job. This evolution-dependent compromise allows a creator God of sorts, but does not allow the omniscient and omnipotent creator God who authored the Bible. Of note too is the fact that the Muslim Quran makes no compromise with evolution either. Therefore, NASA's stated goal of searching space for clues to man's origins reveals the premise behind their taxpayer-supported Origins program. That premise is that evolution is true in the Bible, along with the Quran, is false. This premise is not secular, it is spiritual. It claims to be scientific and therefore independent of religion. It is not scientific, as we shall see. It is religious, as we shall also see. The evolutionary premise violates all known science and logic. It does not have the first piece of verifiable evidence to support the squirrely evolution myth it calls scientific. Evolutionism embodies a single spiritual agenda, viz., disqualify and replace the Bible as the source of truth. In support of its Origins program, NASA says it will answer such questions as: Are there any planets outside our solar system that are capable of supporting life? How did life originate on Earth? Is there life, however primitive or evolved, outside our solar system? Under the heading Origins Science, we see that NASA makes it plain that its goal of establishing extraterrestrial evolutionism is symbiotically connected to its dependency on another scientific hypothesis. Note this connection and the dependency upon the unproven Big Bang hypothesis that NASA is using to achieve its goal of establishing evolutionism as a fact. From part of its webpage we read, from TH. NASA's Origins program follows the 15 billion year long chain of events from birth of the universe at the Big Bang, through the formation of the chemical elements, galaxies, stars, and planets, through the mixing of chemicals and energy that cradles life on Earth, to the earliest self-replicating organisms and the profusion of life. Seen in this statement is the unmistakable dependency of NASA's evolutionary agenda upon the Big Bang myth. That myth grants them and others the billions of years that the evolution myth requires. Time is indeed the hero of this plot. NASA goes on to say that the long-term goals of Origins address fundamental questions about our place in the universe. How did galaxies form in the early universe and what role do galaxies play in the appearance of planetary systems and life? How do stars and planetary systems form and are there life-sustaining planets around other stars? How did life originate on Earth and does it exist elsewhere in the universe? Now notice very carefully how all this is to be accomplished. Origins will use revolutionary new technologies to investigate these questions. _ Revolutionary new technologies. They are revolutionary all right. Under the next heading we will see the utter deception that NASA is building into these revolutionary new technologies. Further along, we will see that these technologies are designed to achieve their Bible-bashing goal of establishing extraterrestrial evolutionism through the use of highly sophisticated virtual reality simulations. More on high-tech fraud in space. See, virtual reality fraud, redshift fraud, NASA's hanky-panky, Psi Structure Part 6. For the moment though, let's just add a thing or two to further establish that. 1. NASA's goal in its Origins program is to settle the argument over origins in favor of evolutionism, and two, that this goal is spiritual rather than scientific. We can read many places that the late Dr. Carl Sagan, D. December 96, was closely associated with NASA's planetary exploration involving the Mariner, Viking, Voyager, and Galileo missions. What we don't read about in many places is that Sagan was an avid pothead. His biographer, Kay Davidson, AP writer Scott Andrews, Harvard psychiatry professor Grinspoon, his widow, Anne Druyan, etc., all confirm that his essays and scientific insights were products of marijuana-assisted inspirations. That Sagan was totally sold on the evolutionary explanation for all that exists is reflected in all his writings, The Evolution of the Human Brain, Little Telescoping Critters on the Moon, his famous Cosmos TV series, etc. He carried that zeal for replacing biblical creationism with evolutionism over into his highly praised work at NASA. Indeed, one web bio summed up those years by noting that he played a leading role in the American space program since its inception. In a posthumous award to Dr. Sagan, the National Science Foundation declared that his research transformed planetary science. Sagan encapsulated his belief about man's significance thusly, "Who are we? We find that we live on an insignificant planet of a humdrum star lost in a galaxy tucked away in some forgotten corner of a universe in which there are far more galaxies than people." This evolution-grounded nihilistic mindset has been prevalent in and out of academia for several generations. It's not surprising that Sagan embraced it, nor that few if any dissenters toward that mindset would be found in NASAdom. By the time Sagan, and lots of us, went to the university, 8 or 10 generations of increasingly sophisticated indoctrination had seemingly closed and locked the door against any challenge to the Copernican model, which made the Earth go around the Sun instead of the Sun going around the Earth, as the Bible taught. The ever-increasing spread of Darwinism after the 1850s demanded millions and then billions of years for evolution to take place. Clearly, the Sun, Moon, and stars had to be billions of years old too, for they could not be younger than the Earth. Indeed, a universe billions of years old was the only way evolutionism could lay hold on the billions of years it needs to lend even superficial credibility to its fantastic claims. So, let it be said in factual concrete, Copernicanism and Darwinism, i.e., heliocentricity and evolutionism, are Siamese twins. Appearing first, Copernicanism paved the way for Darwinism's success by using invented mathematical models and the physical science disciplines of astronomy and physics, and by contradicting the Bible's teaching about an immovable Earth at the center of creation with the Sun going around daily. Darwinism then reinforced Copernicanism by requiring billions of years for everything to evolve. Now the biological sciences had joined with the physical sciences in contradicting the biblical creation with its young Earth and man as the special creation of God, made in his own image and with an option for eternal life on a heavenly new earth. All that was needed by the time of Sagan's university days was a way to get rid of the stubborn, lingering belief in God's creation of mankind in 6 literal, evening and morning, days. This belief had to be put on a level with the almost totally defeated and forgotten belief in a very special unmovable earth at the center of God's plans. Nobody argued for that anymore, but hundreds of millions of people were still clinging to a conviction that evolution theory was total nonsense and that mankind is the special creation of an almighty God with a great purpose and plan for his creation. How could this resistance to evolution be ended once and for all? That was the challenge that faced hallucinating exobiologist Sagan and company when he got in the driver's seat at NASA. In that position, taxpayers' billions of dollars could provide the ways and means to eliminate all challenges to the Big Bang model as the scientific explanation for the origin of the universe, Earth included. Then through the development of cutting-edge computerized telescope and camera technology, a way was opening up to settle the creation/evolution controversy forever in favor of evolution. Of course, Sagan's total commitment to evolutionism, in tandem with biologist Jay Gould at Harvard, was spread far and wide through his TV Cosmos series and his books at the time computer technology was developing. He taught that widespread extraterrestrial evolution was a certainty and would soon be proven. He was at the center of NASA's drive for perfecting computerized telescopes and cameras with virtual reality technology for a dozen years before he died. But he didn't live to see the job completed. Just a couple of years before his death, he admitted in his article The Search for Extraterrestrial Life in the Scientific American, 94, that of all of his NASA-supported missions, none of these spacecraft encounters has yielded compelling, or even strongly suggestive, indications of extraterrestrial life. That's a pretty strong confession when you think about it. Indeed, exobiology is a science with no data, the ultimate oxymoron. In 1992, 4 years before Sagan's death, Daniel Saul Golden became NASA's administrator. His policies earned him many accolades, including the title of brilliant visionary and being named one of the 100 most influential men and women in government. No one questions his ability to vigorously and innovatively fulfill NASA's stated goals. His vision has nowhere been more evident than in his comprehensive strategy for space exploration. We want to take a very close look at the main components of that comprehensive strategy momentarily, but let the overriding goal of that strategy be understood and underscored yet again. Mr. Golden did not alter the goal of finding extraterrestrial life forms and establishing evolutionism as a scientific fact which will no longer be contested by anyone. Indeed, his administration streamlined NASA's whole operation by putting those revolutionary new technologies mentioned earlier on afterburners, as it were. Mr. Golden meant to see NASA's goal accomplished, and he meant to do it speedily. His web bio reveals that he initiated the Origins program to understand how the universe has evolved, to learn how life began on Earth and to see if life exists elsewhere. Golden update, see, NASA's O'Keefe. Let's see how he proposed to achieve these goals. Go to NASA's hanky-panky virtual reality technology.